So the question is, what are you here for? What are you here for? Not what are you on earth for? Okay, that could take us a while to unravel that. But what are you here for today? So talk to the people next to you. What are you here for? What have you come for? Okay. Well, I'd imagine there were a number of different responses. Maybe for some of you it's the chance to catch up with each other. Maybe some of you come to play football outside. Maybe some of you come because you love to worship with other people. Maybe you come to learn from God's word. Maybe you come for encouragement. Maybe you've come because you're exploring faith. Maybe you come because you've been brought along or dragged along by someone else. Or maybe it's because, you know, it's a good thing to do on a Sunday morning. I'd imagine for many of us it's a combination of lots of these things. Well, what are we here for is a question that we as a leadership team ask as we pray and we seek God's plans for us as a church family. And we believe that we've been placed here in Airedale for a reason. And individually, for us, individually, that might be a different reason for each of us. But corporately, together, the reason that we're here is to be part of what God is doing to build his kingdom here in the Air Valley, isn't it? And of course, to equip ourselves for kingdom building, we need to feed ourselves with God's word. We need to spend time with him in prayer and worship to grow our love and relationship with him. We need to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit who equips us. And these are all vital parts of our discipleship walk, aren't they? And part of the joy of being church family together is to be able to do these things corporately together when we meet. But if we stop there, then we're not fulfilling all that God has called us to. And during Jesus' ministry, he built his team, his 12 disciples. And as he built this team, he focused on intense personal training to equip them and prepare them to carry out the mission from his Father. And in that time, he modeled ministry. He empowered them with authority. He sent them out in pairs to preach and to heal, to ensure that they could multiply his work when he was no longer going to be around. And this team was designed for active service, not passive membership, wasn't it? It was active service, not passive membership. That's what the disciples were for. And 2026 now, years later, as Jesus' disciples, we have the same call on us, don't we? We have the same call on us to be active in service, not passive members. And all four of the Gospels end with clear instructions from Jesus on this. If we could have those up, Toby, please. I tell you what, let's read these out together. It's not something we do very often. We're going to read out loud these verses together. So we've got one from each of the four Gospels. So let's all read together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I've got another one. Repentance, forgiveness of sins, will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And lastly, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So some really clear instructions from Jesus there, isn't it, in all four Gospels, that we are to be a sent people. And so this is why, since we emerged from the pandemic in October 2021, which feels like a distant memory now, doesn't it, we've had these community Sundays, one Sunday a month, in place of our normal worship gatherings here. And the idea of these times was to give a dedicated slot in our monthly calendar to give us space to intentionally reach out to our friends and our neighbours with practical service and witness. And we were aware that for some people you were loving these Sundays, while others are finding them challenging for different reasons. And we never want to be a church that carries on doing things just because that's what we've always done. And so we're regularly reviewing how we do things to be the most effective that we can be, and obviously also in listening to what God is telling us to do. And so that meant at the end of last year, we sent out a questionnaire to help us as we review Community Sundays. And I hope that you understand our heart in this wasn't for us to check up on what you were doing with your time. And it also wasn't to gather people's opinions so that we could go with the most popular option, because neither of those would be good or godly ways to lead. But the aim of these was just to get a snapshot of how people were engaging with Community Sundays, and so that we could hear some of the benefits and the challenges that people were experiencing, because unless we ask, we don't always know these things. And the point of this was so that we as a leadership team, and this included the new wider team that we prayed in a few weeks ago, we've been journeying this together, it was to enable us to review Community Sundays and consider how we can most effectively equip us as a church to share our faith in our day-to-day. And so thank you to everyone that filled out the survey. It was really encouraging for us to hear how you've appreciated Community Sundays and have used time to serve in the wider community, have mini worship times at home, spend with family and friends who don't know Jesus, and also being part of the organised events that we've run at different times. And people said that they appreciated this intentionality to share their faith and that encouragement to do that on Community Sundays. And some expressed that without them, they would have struggled to find the time to do that. But also, people weren't always sure what to do on Community Sundays, how to spend their time, or they find that it's not necessarily the best time in the week to reach out because their friends and neighbours aren't available on a Sunday morning, while others said that they struggled to know what to do and to be organised and to make plans. And also people talked about the disruption of the routine of attending church regularly, either for themselves or others. And we're aware that there's people within our congregation who work on Sundays. And so for them, Community Sundays were tricky because it meant that they could go long gaps without being able to come together to worship if their shift pattern fell that way. And others felt that Community Sundays were a barrier to being able to invite people to church, because you might get into a conversation with someone and say, oh, come to church, and they say, oh, yeah, great. Oh, actually, not this week. Come next week. And the moment can be lost, because, you know, you've got to kind of grasp these moments, haven't you, when they come. And sometimes it felt like a missed opportunity, or people weren't sure if we were gathering that week or not. And we've also had it where some people have come to church for the first time on a Sunday. Someone that we invited, this happened, and they loved it, and they were really enthusiastic about it. The next week was a Community Sunday, and they haven't been back since. Now, obviously, we don't know if they'd have come back, if we'd have had another week the next week. But it could be a barrier, couldn't it? Because it takes courage to come to church the first time, and it takes courage to come back after a break as well. And also for those who are new to faith, it can be harder to get into a good routine of regular church attendance when we aren't gathering weekly. And so as we considered these things, as we prayed about it, it was really these last points that for us as a leadership team kind of really fueled this change that we're moving into. These last points of kind of barriers for people coming into church, particularly for those exploring faith. And we're just keen to remove anything that's going to prevent people coming in and getting to know Jesus. Some recent research by the Evangelical Alliance in their Finding Jesus report showed that for adults coming to faith, 60% of them said that attending church was the most important factor in them deciding to follow Jesus. So 60% said that attending a church was the most important factor. And similarly, research from the Bible Society on this quiet revival that you've probably heard about in the news, it's made headlines in secular news, is that now, more than any other time in recent history, people are walking into church on Sundays without any connection to that church. They're finding faith online on YouTube, they're Googling a church, and they're literally just turning up on a Sunday morning. And so now more than ever, we're more likely to have people just wandering in kind of off the street. And so we want to be a place, don't we, where people can be invited, either by us or just by walking in, finding us on Google. And this means being present here on a Sunday morning, to be able to provide a constant pattern of church gatherings for people to join, with the hope, obviously, that they come to know Jesus and become part of the body of Christ. So that's just a little part of the kind of journey as to the why are we changing things, and the journey that we've been on as a team over the last few months with this, and why really that we felt God was asking us to change things on Community Sundays, to be present here in the school on those weeks. And in lots of ways it would have been easier just to stick to how things were. You know, for Viv and I, we've actually really appreciated the breathing space of Community Sundays in our month. and the opportunity to do something different with those weeks, or to go away on holiday, or to visit family. But ultimately, we're not here for our own needs, are we? We're here to respond to what God is asking of us, and this is what we feel God is asking of us. And we're also excited about this new season, about this next stage, and what God is calling us into, and what he will do in us as a church through this new season. So Viv's now just going to talk a little bit more about what these Sundays will look like going forward.
Thank you. So, I guess for a start, you may wonder, is this just going to be a Sunday every month where we bang on about evangelism and we hear yet another preach about how we ought to be sharing faith? Now, that's not going to be the case, and I'll get to that in a minute. But this Sunday is probably, we might have some that are like this, but they're not all going to be kind of the same format as a normal Sunday. So they're not always going to be worship, then a preach, and then us going away feeling like we ought to do some stuff. So they will be different to that. But over the last kind of year or so, I've had many conversations with lots of you, sharing the joy of where our church community is at. It's been, and especially people saying, yeah, haven't we grown? And we can tell that because we have to keep on putting more chairs out and then making the rows closer together. And God has been really faithful since lockdown in that. So we started with about 20 people. We now have had, well, a couple of weeks ago we had 23 kids in kids' church, and we have about 20 youth that have come at different points over the last kind of 6 months. And so it's been so good to see where God has added to our number. And that has been an answer to prayer, that we've prayed for particular demographics and God has answered those prayers. And that is wonderful. And so I celebrate and thank God for what he is doing within us. But the reality is that over the time since we emerged from lockdown, we have seen two people come to know Christ and be baptized into the church family. And we praise God and thank you for them. But I know there's more. I know there's more than just the two that we have seen. Now I'm not begrudging or kind of belittling anything else that's happening or any of the growth that's happening within church life, that we've seen lots of our youth get baptized, and it's been such a wonderful joy to be part of, is seeing our teens and our young people choosing to publicly declare that they're following Jesus. That is such a wonderful thing. We've seen people kind of grow in freedom. We've seen people able to come on a Sunday when that was a difficult and a challenging thing for them. We've seen people stepping out in gifting as well. And so there's some wonderful growth within the church. But unless we're seeing people brought into freedom, that I spoke last week about being coming from a place of death into life, from slavery into freedom, unless we're seeing that, I feel like we're missing something of what God has for us. That actually we're here to bring people out of death, out of the kingdom of darkness, and into the kingdom of light. And so when you look around us, there is a ripe harvest. This is talked about in the gospel, isn't it? That there is a harvest that is ripe. And we see it. We see it in the relationships that we have personally, and we also see it within our our area. We see kind of geographic area. We see where there are people that need to know Jesus. And we also see that, obviously, as we look to the news or within society and culture. And we have a part to play in bringing in that harvest. That there's a harvest that is ripe and ready, and we have a part to play in that. Now, clearly, it is God that does that. It is God that does a work in somebody's soul. It is God that transforms. It is God that gives them a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone. That's not our responsibility, but we do have a part of responsibility. We are called co-laborers with Christ. There are times when we may be sowing the seed, just sharing little drops of conversations with people. And there may be times when we actually are the ones to bring in the harvest and say, hey, I think God's calling you to give your life to him, and having the joy and privilege of doing that with somebody is such a wonderful thing. I was at a prayer day a couple of weeks ago for church leaders from our group of churches, and one of the guys there got up on the stage and asked us all to raise our hand if we'd share the gospel in the last 2 weeks. This is a room full of church leaders, and I reckon about a third of the group put their hand up. And so his point was, if we as church leaders are not being proactive and intentional in sharing the gospel, then what does that say for how we're leading our churches? How are we doing that, equipping, encouraging our churches to do the same? And so I'm not going to ask us to do this as a hand-up exercise, but I'd imagine that for many of us, me included, I've not shared the gospel in the last 2 weeks. I've not explicitly had a conversation with somebody about who Jesus is, what he has done. So we all have a responsibility. Now, what I'm not doing is standing up here talking about a weird pyramid scheme where we all got to meet a quota. There's no villa in Spain at the end of it if you get a certain number of people into the kingdom. But it is about being faithful and intentional with where God has placed us. That we all have been placed in our communities, in our families, in our friendship groups, in our schools, in our workplaces. And God has good work for us to do in sharing who he is. I've talked to you many times about my hockey exploits. We're on a good winning run, by the way. 4 games on the trot we've won. But as part of that, I've just been sharing. Like, I've not been particularly explicit. I've said that I'm a Christian. I say that partly because we have games on Sundays and I say I can't play them. I've prayed for some people at training sometimes, and that's been kind of nerve-wracking, but something that I felt able to do. But I've not stood up at the end of a match and said, "Hey, let me tell you about Jesus." I've not done that. But I have just been me. And we were in the warm-up a couple of weeks ago, and one of the guys at hockey, just as we were kind of getting ready to go onto the pitch to play, said, "Viv, how do I get into church? And how do I find out about Christianity?" I was like, "What the heck? I just want to play hockey." I was not expecting it. And so all that really happened is I'd just been me. I'd shared a bit about my faith at times. And I'd been the nice guy of the team, with the best discipline record in the team. And so he's seen something and known something about me. And he has seen Jesus through me in some shape or form. And so he's asked a question. Now, I'm now going to try and meet up with him at the pub, and I'm genuinely like, "Oh man, I've got to start talking to him about Jesus now. Okay, right, I could do this bit, I can do the fun bit, I can do the hockey bit and the kind of going to the pub afterwards bit, but now I've got a responsibility, I've got an opportunity to talk to him about Jesus. He'll have questions that I get to answer." And so there's a joy in those conversations, there's a joy when God puts somebody in your life that asks those questions. It doesn't need to be a hard thing. Actually, I'm just playing hockey, which I'd do anyway. I'm just enjoying getting to know some people that are like-minded and good fun to hang out with. I'm just doing life. But I'm intentionally modelling Jesus to those around me. I'm intentionally trying to do that. And this is something that we can all do. And not just can, but are called to. We're all called to do this. If you remember, you're not all called to play hockey, by the way. You're all called to share faith. If you remember when we had Steve Hurd here last year, he's a guy that talked about playing squash with a poor curate and then kind of being very stubborn about wanting to hear about Jesus. He got us to do an exercise at the start and said, "Who, hands up if you've got the gift of evangelism." Do everybody remember that? Yeah? And so lots of us put up our hands. And he's like, "Aha! There is no gift of evangelism. There is no gift of evangelism. It is something we're all called and are all able to do." And lots of you are already doing this. It's been wonderful in our youth group to see Freya bringing a stream of her friends to youth over the years, over the last few months. And so it's been great. She's been saying, "Hey, I'm a Christian. Do you want to come on to my youth group? You'll get to have some fun games, have some snacks, and you get to hear about Jesus." And so they've come. I've had other people bring people to church. We've had people going to nursing homes, going to hospitals, to kind of to pray with people in hospitals. We've had people just having chats on dog walks or in the park after school. And so this is happening. I'm not saying that we're not doing this. But I know that for many of us, we may also find this difficult. Maybe we don't have confidence or the kind of the space in our week to actually share about our faith. And I want to say that's okay. This is a journey that we're all going on together, something that we're all doing together. And the church family that we have here is wonderful, isn't it? It's so wonderful to be part of a loving, caring group of followers of Christ together. But the danger is that we can enjoy this and we can delight in this and thank God for the friendships we have here, and then that becomes it. Have you ever heard the kind of Christian bubble was a kind of a phrase? And for me, that's genuinely why I play hockey. One of the reasons is that I used to work for a Christian charity and I came to church. And so I was just really aware that for me, actually, there was nowhere really in my week that I was engaging with people that weren't Christians. And so for me, as much as I love playing hockey for hockey's sake, actually there's an intentionality there because I want to be around people that aren't Christian. And I once heard a story which I want to share with you, which I hope illustrates this point. And it's about a fishing village. And in this fishing village, they have got a set of rocks out at sea, just out off their coast. And this is a busy shipping lane. But they also get big storms. And so they begin to see that actually ships begin to hit the rocks and get shipwrecked. And people are drowned. And so the fishermen of the village decide, we can't let this happen. And so whenever they saw these shipwrecks happening, they would go out in their boats to come and bring the people back into safety. And so they then decided that, okay, we brought these people back in, but they come back in cold and wet, and we need somewhere to warm them up and to look after them. And so they built a little hut where they put a fire in it, and they were able to bring these people back in to a place which had a bit of a fire, and it was warm, and they kind of got dried off. And they made sure that they then decided, actually, we need to make sure we've got actual lifeboats rather than our fishing boats for this. And then they were like, well, okay, actually, like, it'd be good to have people on call so that actually throughout the night we don't have to kind of rush from our villages, from our houses to get to the boat to then go out. Actually, let's have a set of bunks in our place. So they expanded their building and suddenly it got a bit bigger. And then they had to put a kitchen in and some toilets in. And then actually it became quite a nice place to hang out with when you're waiting for the shift. And so they built it even bigger and they put a bit of a function room in. And actually it became a place where the community started to come. And so this fishing community would enjoy spending time in this what was a lifeboat shelter. And they put a bar in and they kind of had nice events there. And all the while the storms would still be happening. And over time, this village realized that actually they'd gone from being people that were intentional about going out to actually being a people that enjoyed the fellowship that this lifeboat station was giving them. And they began to forget about what was out in the storm at the sea. And so the point of the illustration is that actually we can enjoy the community of the church. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing for us to be part of. That we're knitted together in Christ, aren't we? That there's something spiritual which happens as we meet together, as we share life together. As we do that in connect groups, as we do that, as we meet up socially. But if we do this at the expense of going out, then we've missed something of what God has for us. And that's why God gave us the gift of the evangelist to the church. So there's no gift of evangelism, but there is the gift of the evangelist to the church. And this is in Ephesians 4. And it says this: now these are the gifts Christ has given to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So the evangelist is there to equip and help us to enter into God's work. The evangelist is the one that doesn't do all of the evangelism. The evangelist equips us in order to, that we can be those to evangelize, to share our faith. Does that make sense? And so that's why for this season, we want to continue to dedicate one Sunday a month to helping us grow in being equipped for the works of evangelism. We're going to use evangelists to help us with that. So Steve Hurd, who I mentioned about the squash, he's going to come. He's committed to coming kind of another three times this year. And we're hoping to have another evangelist as well from our group of churches. And they'll be coming to help us and give us practical ways that we can share our faith, encouraging us, that their gift is to encourage and build up and equip us to share faith. So this will look like Steve and his team coming and sharing Sundays with us every couple of months. And as part of that, we may have kind of, just really practical, down-to-earth things. So think of it less about being kind of like a sermon being preached, but actually more about a classroom where you're kind of doing stuff together. So maybe we can practice testimony together. It may be how to share Bible stories with people in a way that's accessible. So being able to kind of recount the story of the prodigal son or of the lost coin in a way that actually people can hear without you having to kind of necessarily have to open the Bible, but actually you can just share it because you know it. We also know that there's many of you that find actually sharing faith quite an easy thing. And so we want to hear from you. We want to hear how you find that. Those of you that love to share your faith with people, I know, Elaine, you're wonderful at chatting to people on a dog walk. And so it'd be great to hear from people like you and just say, hey, how do you find this? Like, tell us about what you do, and that can encourage us. Or for those of us that find it harder, maybe we can get up and go, do you know what? Something that I've tried this week and it didn't go very well. I went to the pub with my friend from hockey and it was an awful conversation, but I tried. And that's just as encouraging, I hope, kind of. Like, actually, we can share in our successes and our challenges in this. There may be other weeks, particularly in the summer, where actually we meet together. We can have a time of worship together. Then we can go out and we can prayer walk and just pray around the villages and the streets around us. And maybe as part of that, we can meet up with some people, bump into people and say, hey, anything you want prayer for? So just ways of helping us get out from being the church body together and actually looking out to share faith with others. Does that make sense? So it's not all going to be sermons. We're not going to bang on about you must do evangelism every time, but we're going to practice doing that together. Naomi, I'll hand over to you for the last few bits.
Great. So we've shared a bit of the why and the what of how these community Sundays are going to change. And so now we're just going to briefly look at the how. And so we're aware that for some of you, you might have concerns about how this is going to kind of work practically. We know that for many of us, Community Sundays have provided a bit of breathing space in the month that came out through the questionnaire, and time to spend with family or time to go away. Well, firstly, I want to reassure you that we recognise that rest is important. After all, God built it into the foundation of creation, didn't he, from the beginning? And recognise the importance of rest is why our connect groups are only fortnightly. It's why we only have prayer meetings once a month. We don't want to burn everybody out by having lots of weekly church activities. So we do recognise that rest is important and pace is important. Spending time with family and friends is important. Holidays are important. And so if your response to when we put out the email saying that we're going to go to more regular gatherings was, oh no, how are we going to manage this? When will we get a break? The answer is it's okay to take a break. Please know it's okay to have, a Sunday off where you go and spend it with family or friends or go away or do something that you enjoy or have a rest. And there'll be weeks when Viv and I are not here because we're away visiting our family or going on holiday. We all need breaks, don't we, in our year. And regular church attendance is really important for us individually and for us corporately. But please hear that it's okay to take a break, which we know that a lot of people have been doing kind of on those community Sundays. And to help with this, at least this year, the plan is that when there's a month with five Sundays, there will still be like a break week in that month. It doesn't work out like that way for March because we're running an Easter event on the fifth Sunday. But for the other months in the year where there's five Sundays, they tend to fall kind of around half term and kind of bank holidays anyway, when numbers would kind of be lower. So there will be kind of a breathing space week in those months. So yeah, if you're kind of worried about that and the kind of pressure to be here, you know, every single week, please know that that's okay. And for people with children, they're all away today, actually, pretty much. But you may be wondering how, your kids are going to fit into this. I'm aware that some people will be catching up on the recording, so still want to talk about this. We're still working this out, but our hope is that they will be involved in these Sundays, because actually the call to go is just as much on our children and our young people as it is on us as adults. For younger ones, there will be provision on these Sundays. What that looks like, we will work out with parents, and it depends on kind of who's here week to week. But they will be included in this time, but there won't be Kids Church running on these weeks. And lastly, for those who so faithfully serve on our serving teams, you might be wondering, how are we physically going to manage another Sunday? How's this going to work? Well, there's a famous saying, isn't there? Many hands make light work. And this is true. And when we all do our bit, the burden is lighter for everyone. I don't know if you remember, I think last summer we had a discipleship series and we covered serving as one of those talks, and we had a box of big Jenga bricks, do you remember? And the kids tried to lift it, they couldn't lift it, they gave out a brick to everybody and everybody held the bricks above their head, and the point of this was that when we spread out the weight every, you know, amongst everyone, we can lift it. And so yeah, as we heard in January through the word brought from Julie, we've been called to increased commitment, haven't we, this year. And serving each other is a tangible way that we can show part of that commitment to God and to each other. And so we just, would like to ask you to prayerfully consider your serving. And we realise, of course, that not everybody can serve on a Sunday for various different reasons, and that's fine. But for those of us who can and are able, we just ask you to consider where you can serve the church family as we look to increase the Sundays that we're gathering. Because, of course, this is going to increase the amount that needs to be done. And thank you so much to those of you who are already doing it. I look around the room and I see lots of people who are serving really faithfully, some on two or three different teams. And we're so grateful for all you do. We're so grateful for your sacrifice of time and energy and the love that you show to the church family through your service. And it might be that for some of us, we're really passionate about a ministry that we love to serve in. It's a joy to do, and we really feel like we're operating within our gifting and our passion when we do this. And for me, it's being out with the kids. I love being out with the children. It can be hard work. When we had 23 the other week, I felt like I needed a lie down in a dark room afterwards. But it's a joy to serve the kids. It really fills me with joy to do that, and I love it. And maybe for some of you, that's being on welcome and meeting people at the door is something that you love. You're passionate about welcoming people in. Maybe you're in the worship team. You're passionate about taking people into that place of worship. And that's brilliant, isn't it? When we can find somewhere for us to serve that like makes our heart sing. But then there's also some other roles, aren't there, that don't necessarily fill us with joy, but we have to do them anyway. And they have to happen for the church to run smoothly, don't they? And it's probably like this in our homes. There's probably some jobs that you do at home, which, you know, you get a sense of satisfaction out. Maybe it's decorating. Maybe you love hoovering. Who loves hoovering? I don't know. But maybe there's jobs that you get satisfaction about. And then there's other jobs which you actually really don't enjoy, but you do them anyway, don't you, to make your house run smoothly? And because of love for the people that you live with in your home, is that you do those jobs out of love for them. And so I think, there's jobs that have to be done, aren't there, for us to be here. And a lot of people, you know, love serving in their different ministry roles. And then there's the roles that just need to be done. And they're probably not jobs that people love, but they do anyway. And things like putting out the chairs. People really feel called to putting out the chairs, but we all love having a chair to sit on a Sunday, don't we? So there's just these jobs that have to be done. And it's this love for one another and love for each other as church family that calls us to do this, isn't it, in service. And in Galatians 5:13, it says, serve one another humbly in love. And as we come together on a Sunday and we each do our bit and we serve each other, that's what we're doing. We're serving each other humbly in love. And every role we have here on a Sunday morning is just as important as any other role, whether it's putting out the chairs, whether it's greeting on the door, whether it's being down with the kids, whether it's leading worship, whether it's the PA, the projector, whatever it is, they're all just as important because they're all part of creating an environment that we can welcome people into. And that's the whole point, isn't it? We want to welcome new people into our church family. And just as we've been chatting through this as a team, Carla, you felt God speak to you about this. So you're just going to come and share briefly. Yeah. Thanks, Carla.
I shall be brief. My clippity. I just wrote it down, but don't worry, it's not really long. So I had a picture of a mirror ball. Those in the 70s, you all know what I'm talking about. And it was how it reflects everything in that shines on it. And I was looking at the different teams in the church and how actually every single team really reflects Jesus. And Jesus said, as Naomi mentioned already, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." And our kids' church reflects that because they say, "Let the children come with me, all 23 of them, and I'm going to point them in the direction of Jesus." Jesus taught in the temple, and that's our teaching team. He mentored and built up his disciples. That's our connect groups. He fed 5,000 people. We're not quite there yet, but I'm sure it feels like it when you're filling up those coffee cups. He met with people outside the temple. That's our welcome team. He had some of the best conversations when he was out on the road. That's our car parking team. And let me tell you, when I came in this morning, there's a decent crowd out there. It's lovely. He made a miracle happen at a wedding, working in the background. That's our setup team. It feels like a miracle sometimes that this all gets set up. He amplified his voice by getting into a boat, and that's reflected in our PA team, making sure that there's sound that comes through and we can hear God's word. He prayed for others. That's our prayer meetings. He went into people's homes and spent time with them. That's reflected when we drop in on each other. He spent time revealing the Messiah to the woman at the well. That's reflected every time that we sit with each other and speak to a newcomer. He spent 3 years closely building up his disciples, and only one of them was old enough to pay the temple tax. So that makes Jesus a youth leader, in my opinion. He sang and he worshipped and he quoted the Psalms. That's our worship team. And sometimes we can look at Rotas and church organisation and we go, well, do we actually really need all of this? And probably the answer is no. But as we spend time with Christ, we start reflecting Christ. And all of these things that he did in his ministry, we're reflecting when we start to serve in a team. And I was just really encouraged, and hopefully when you hear the word Rota, you don't go, oh, because actually it's a chance to just reflect how Jesus led his ministry. He also got down and washed people's feet. So we don't have a washing feet ministry yet. But if you want to do that, just let me know.
Thanks, Carla. Yeah, let's give her a clap. That's great, isn't it? Yeah. Like you said, Carla said, you can hear the word Rota and think, oh. But our teams are a chance for us to serve each other, aren't they? And actually, the way that we operate our serving teams is we don't set Rotas like 6 months ahead. You're not signing up for a lifetime commitment. We do it through our WhatsApp group. It's really relational. We opt in for the weeks that you can serve. So you're not going to be put on, you know, you haven't got to commit to being here, you know, on the third Sunday of September now. You know, it's only ever kind of like a month ahead. It's not a lifetime commitment. The reality is, though, that if our serving teams stay the size they are now, it's not going to be sustainable for us. It's going to put a big strain on the people that are currently serving. And so we're asking you, yeah, just to consider, please, prayerfully, your response to this as we step out in faith in these new Sundays. And parents, we'd encourage you to chat with your children and young people about how they would like to serve too, because they're just as an important part of the family as the adults, and they have their own part to play. And it's lovely to see some of our children and young people already serving in different ways. And maybe you could commit to 6 months. Maybe you feel hesitant to sign up for, you know, the rest of your life. But maybe you could say, do you know what, between now and September, yeah, I'm going to commit to joining a team and I'm going to see how it goes. And after 6 months, you might think, this is great, I want to stay here. You might think, oh, I'm going to try something else for 6 months. That's okay. We're not asking you kind of to sign your life away. All of our teams would welcome new people, and this would bring strength and stability to each of our teams. But there are some really particular gaps that we really need to see God fill. Toby, if we could have this one. So these are the ones that we really need to see answered prayer, really. So please, yeah, join us in praying for this. our setup team, our welcome team, and our kids' church is where we would particularly need to see growth of our teams. But as I said, all of our teams would welcome new people. And so if you feel that you're able to step into one of these, we'd love to chat with you about that. And yes, give you some more information. And if you have any kind of more questions about anything that we've talked about today, we recognise that everyone will have different feelings about this, and that's okay. Encourage you to take those things to God and process them with Him. But also, please do speak to the leadership team if you've got any questions or concerns about kind of anything that we've shared today going forward. And I think as well, just to say, we haven't got this all worked out. That's probably come across today, but we haven't got this worked out. We don't know exactly what these Sundays are going to be. Month to month, we've got some of them planned. Some of them haven't, and we're just up for God taking us on this journey and seeing where He takes us, and we'll review and we'll change things, and we want to hear your feedback, but we're excited about this new thing. And I think sometimes God calls us to step out of the boat, doesn't He, in faith. And I guess we've been in the boat, and this is us going, okay God, you're taking us into something new. We're stepping out of the boat in faith, and we trust that you're going to respond.